Good morning, everyone. Continuing this morning, we previously did the Charya, Kriya, and Yogapadas, and this morning we're wrapping that subject up with the Yanapada, starting with Gurudeva's sloka from Dancing with Shiva. What is the nature of the Yanapada? Jnana is divine wisdom emanating from an enlightened being, the soul in its maturity immersed in Shivaness, the blessed realization of God while living out earthly karma. Jnana is the fruition of yoga tapas. Om Namah Shivaya. Bhasya. The instinctive mind in the young soul is firm and well knit together. The intellectual mind in the adolescent soul is complicated, and he sees the physical world as his only reality. The sub-superconscious blind soul, well perfected in Kriya, longs for realization of Shiva's two perfections, Sat-Chit-Ananda and Parashiva. Through yoga, he bursts into the superconscious mind, experiencing bliss, all-knowingness, and perfect silence. It is when the yogi's intellect is shattered that he soars into Parashiva and comes out a yani. Each time he enters that unspeakable Nirvikalpa Samadhi, he returns to consciousness more and more the knower. He is the liberated one, the Jivan Mukta, the epitome of Kaivalya, perfect freedom. Far-seeing, filled with light, filled with love. One does not become a jnani simply by reading and understanding philosophy. The state of jnana lies in the realm of intuition, beyond the intellect. The Vedas say, having realized the self, the rishis, perfected souls, satisfied with their knowledge, passion-free, tranquil, those wise beings have attained the omnipresent on all sides. Enter into the all itself. Om Namah Shivaya. Read that last one again. Those wise beings, having attained the omnipresent on all sides, enter into the all itself. Gurudeva gives us few different ways of getting a sense of realizing Parashiva. I chose two of them to share. First one is the oldest one, 1959, talk at the San Francisco Center from the Self God. If you visualize above you nothing, below you nothing, to the right of you nothing, to the left of you nothing, in front of you nothing, in back of you nothing, and dissolve yourself into that nothingness, that would be the best way you could explain the realization of the self. And yet that nothingness would not be the absence of something, like the nothingness inside an empty box, which would be like a void. That nothingness is the fullness of everything. The power, the sustaining power of the existence of what appears to be everything. And the second explanation, the self is so simple. You have to be so simple to realize the self. Not simple-minded, but so unattached. Awareness has to be able to move so nimbly through the mind, like a graceful deer going through the forest, so deftly through the mind, that none of the sticky substance of the mind, so to speak, sticks onto awareness and holds it steadfast for a period of time. And only with that agility can you move awareness in quickly to the source, in on itself, until you come out having realized the self. It is an experience you come out of more than go into. If you were to explain self-realization in another way, look at it in this way. Right out here we have a swimming pool. Beneath the surface of the water, we will call that the self. The surface of the water, just the surface of it, we will call that the depths of contemplation. That pure consciousness, that most super rarefied area of the mind, the most refined area of the mind of pure consciousness. And we're going to dive through pure consciousness into the self. We will call the physical body awareness. It's a body of light, and it's going to dive into the self, into the depths of samadhi. But to do that, it has to break the surface, has to break pure consciousness. Skipping forward here. Then you laugh and you jump in. As your hands and head go into the water, they disappear. As the body breaks the surface, it disappears. As the legs go in, they disappear. And we are looking at the surface of the swimming pool and don't see you there anymore. You just disappeared, the whole body. As you come out of that samadhi, first the hands and head come up and begin to appear again. Then the chest, then the entire torso. Then as you climb out from the pool, the legs reappear, and finally the feet appear again. You are just the same as you were before, but you are all clean on the inside. Awareness has a new center. The center is way down in the bottom of there, some place that you can't even talk about. You have realized when you come out that you have realized the self. And we have the Shum Chafe language approach. The realization of Parashiva in Shum Chafe is described as Im Kaif. Well, this is the definition. One, pure awareness aware only of itself, dissolving. Two, the intense state of Kaif when awareness withdraws all energies from all bodies into a peak experience. Three, Kaif eliminates itself, or the locus of awareness dissolves as the superconscious being of man, Lomp, returns to its source. Four, this experience may be brief. Five, Im Kaif does not name what is found from the experience, it only names the entrance and what happens to Kaif. In the introduction to Merging with Shiva, Gurudeva makes a statement that relates to this. This is to explain that the mind cannot realize the self. Awareness cannot realize the self. Consciousness cannot realize the self. There can be no name for the self. To name it is to disqualify it into form. This is why in the incomparable Shum language it has no name, only Im Kaif, awareness aware of itself dissolving. Like any other realization, it does have its aftermath and impact on all five states of mind. That's one way of identifying it, particularly in its in the initial experiences of it. Like any other realization, it does have its aftermath and impact on all five states of the mind. Oh, I thought of an analogy. You have two individuals standing in front of a fairly good-sized pond of water with some rocks on the side. And one of them faces away from the water and the other one either throws a pebble out or doesn't throw a pebble out. And there's enough background noise so that the person with his back to the pond can't hear anything. So he turns around. And how does he know if the pebble was thrown? Because he didn't see it. By the ripples, right? If the pebble was thrown, there'll be ripples coming out from the place where it went into the water. So that's the aftermath. In other words, you didn't see the experience, but you're able to observe the aftermath of the experience. So it creates ripples in the mind. The experience of Parashiva creates ripples in the mind. The mind changes in subtle ways. So if you get used to that, you can tell by the way the mind changed what happened. As Gurudeva says, like any other realization, it does have its aftermath and impact on all five states of the mind. four subpadas of jhana. Oh, as I mentioned in the mentioned before, Gurudeva's explanation of jhana is different than the most common. The cleaning of the meditation room or portion of a room and the collection of all the necessary substances for worshipping one's guru and deities relating to meditation constitute charya in jhana. Offering a prayer, a chant, or a short puja to one's guru and the guru's lineage. After beseeching the grace of any deities your guru has asked you to worship prior to meditation is kriya in jhana. Asana, proper meditation posture, pranayama, regulated breathing, pratyahara, sense withdrawal, dhanana, concentration, jhana, meditation, and savakalpa samadhi, which leads to experiencing nirvikalpa samadhi, constitute yoga and jhana. The experiential knowledge gained by these practices is jhana and jhana. Anubhava unarchi, tamam. And that relates very nicely to what we read earlier, Gurudeva's explanation in the Dancing with Shiva verse we read at the beginning, captures this idea. Each time he enters that unspeakable nirvikalpa samadhi, he returns to consciousness more and more the knower. So that's the idea of jhana, jhana and jhana work. Or gaining wisdom from the experiences that we have in practicing these steps. Sivanari course, Sri Lanka school system, St. Monica Vasagar is the Samaya Acharya who exemplifies the Jnanapada. And we have a verse from Chittamandaram. The Sanmarga has emerged to enable the sadhikas to become Shiva himself. So Sanmarga, of course, is the marga that relates to the Jnanapada. So it's also, you could also say the Jnanapada has emerged to enable the sadhikas to become Shiva himself. The sadhikas who follow this path should first assume his form through the process of nyasa. That's what we do in the puja, the beginning. Then he should sever the five bonds, anava, karma, impure maya, pure maya, and tirodayi. Next, he should attain a liberated state, even while in his embodied state, attainable by being in absolute silence. Raising himself to a higher plane, he should attain the intuitive experience of pure consciousness, and then the experience of ineffable bliss. I have a quote from Sivayana Mapadiyam, Sivayana Munivar. By thus practicing regularly the Charya, Kriya, and Yoga, the initiated Saiva gets ripened. His inner awakening takes place, and he realizes firmly that the actual nature of Shiva is the supreme, indivisible, all-pervasive effulgence of Sat-Chit-Ananda, and that the various physical forms grow subtle in the subtlest that Shiva takes for his sake, the individual self's sake, that is progressing systematically in order that the self can do the worship and other acts of devotion. Thank you very much. Wonderful day. Of our flag raising in a few minutes, those of you who are free to attend.